Hi, I'm Emma, the owner of Baby Sleep Consultant New Zealand, and today this podcast is about newborns and some very realistic sleep solutions if you have a newborn baby. You might have grabbed a copy of this month's Little Treasures magazine, and if you have, then inside there on page 68 is my article on realistic sleep for newborn babies, which might be a little bit different to what you sort of had in mind before you had a newborn baby. You know, some of those sort of portrayals that the media gives us around how easy and natural newborns can feel can be a little bit unrealistic. So this article is about sort of the realities, the harsh reality of having a newborn. I still remember the first time I came home from hospital with a newborn baby myself, and I have to say I was largely very unprepared for the reality of motherhood and having a newborn baby in my house. My only experience with newborns was my younger siblings, which obviously I was much younger when that occurred, and I had one girlfriend at the time who'd had a baby. So yeah, not a lot of newborn experience. And I am embarrassed to say that I vividly recall buying my mountain buggy stroller with the bassinet attachment. And, you know, I was so pleased to be pushing it up and down my hallway at home waiting for my baby to arrive. And that was pretty much all I thought about in terms of my newborn. I just thought about how we would go for walks. And that was it. That was all I thought about. I had no idea how I would feed a newborn. I assumed breastfeeding would be really simple and easy. And I had no idea how a newborn baby slept. I just assumed they slept. So yeah, a couple of pretty big rookie mistakes there. But I think probably a lot of first-time parents can relate to feeling like that, coming home from the hospital for the first time with a newborn baby, unless you are some kind of baby guru the minute your baby was born. So I, like a lot of parents, got to experience that blissful first kind of 3 weeks where babies, now I know in hindsight and with a little education, are very high almost on maternal melatonin, which makes them very drowsy and sometimes almost impossible to wake up to feed. But yeah, so it makes it seem like it's actually quite simple to get your newborn baby to sleep. You can simply feed them, wrap them, pop them in the cot or the bassinet, and they stay asleep. And then 2 hours later, you wake them up and try desperately to get them to feed again. And yeah, I had this wonderful 3 weeks where I thought, okay, this is okay, this is pretty easy. And then progressively, my newborn, she woke up more and more and more, became more and more alert. And I remember one night lying on the couch with her, and it must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I swear I'd been up since 10 p.m. feeding her, and she was feeding and crying and not sleeping, and I just had no idea actually how to get her to go to sleep because my nipples were red raw. I couldn't feed her anymore. She clearly wasn't hungry, she was just tired, you know. And I phoned my mum at the time. I was like, how do I get this baby to sleep? And I think it was the very next day that I thought, from my background in biology and science, there has to be an answer to this question. There have to have been thousands, millions of parents before me who have figured this out. How do we get this baby to sleep? And that, I guess, sort of started off my journey into my obsession with sleep. And sure enough, there definitely are some answers in terms of how you can actually get a newborn baby to drift off to sleep. So once I accepted that I needed some help learning how to get my newborn to sleep, I started off, you know, doing a lot of research. And one of the first things I came across was the National Sleep Foundation and their recommendations around how much sleep a baby needed. And I was pretty surprised to learn that my newborn needed 14 to 17 hours of sleep in a 24-hour period. So number one for me straight away was that I was probably keeping my baby awake too long before I was letting her, you know, fall asleep for a nap in those times where I was struggling because I didn't realize actually quite how much sleep a newborn's developing brain needs. So that was a bit of a game changer for me, understanding just how much sleep a newborn baby needed. And I also really quickly learned and figured out, which has been reinforced, I guess, through the thousands of clients that I've worked with, that if a newborn isn't tired, then there is literally no way you can force them to go to sleep. So all of the things which I'll talk about today in terms of helping a baby to fall asleep, a newborn baby, will only work if your baby's ready to sleep. If they are undertired or neurologically their sleep is just not quite formed as well as it could be, then it is definitely impossible to make a newborn fall asleep if they're not tired. And I'm not talking about a crying, screaming baby who's clearly tired, you know. I'm talking about the newborns who just lie there in their cot and they're perfectly content to just lie there, eyes wide open, and driving us parents crazy, but not sleeping. And they're just not tired. So there's nothing we can do to force those ones to go to sleep. But if they are grizzly or grumpy or crying or doing any of that stuff, showing us those signs that they need some sleep, then we can definitely use these strategies to help them to fall asleep. So when we talk about how much sleep newborns need, that 14 to 17 hours sleep in 24-hour period, what does that sort of correlate to in terms of an awake time? Well, usually newborns, and when I say newborn, I mean under 12 weeks, we're looking at around 45 minutes to 90 minutes of awake time only. Now, I know there are some sleep programs out there that will be encouraging you to keep your newborns awake for 2 hours in the hope that they will sleep for longer. But trust me, the majority of newborn babies cannot tolerate 2 hours awake. And, you know, this advice just comes from a place of misunderstanding that if we build up enough sleep debt, then these babies will sleep for longer. When the truth of the situation is, you know, high levels of sleep debt simply creates a state of stress in a newborn. High cortisol levels, high adrenaline levels, upset, appear to be colicky, and very difficult to get to sleep. I have seen a very large number of newborns whose parents believe they have colic, and they get us in as sleep consultants to help with sleep. And it just turns out they are perpetually overtired. The symptoms can appear very similar. Uncontrollable crying for long periods of time, you know, pulling up the legs, screwing up the face and little hands, and just inconsolable. And that is literally a newborn who is completely exhausted and overtired. Obviously, there are some newborns with colic, but it is quite common for parents to think they have colic when they're actually just very overtired and overstimulated. So yeah, 45 to 90 minutes would be a pretty normal awake time for a newborn baby in those first kind of 12 weeks. Okay, so we have figured out how long to keep our newborns awake for or not awake. What about actually how we can settle these little babies to sleep? So some really simple things which all new parents should know and should be taught, I think, before they even leave the hospital, if possible. Maybe this could be a new curriculum for antenatal classes. But number one would be swaddling your newborn baby. Now, there is a little bit of controversy these days around swaddling. Again, this has come from a place of misunderstanding. So in order for a swaddle or a wrap to be safe for a newborn baby, and they are incredibly safe if done correctly, we simply need to make sure that their hips can fall into the frog position naturally, so this doesn't put your baby in increased risk of hip dysplasia. So nice and loose around the hips. And we don't want a tight swaddle around the hips anyway. That's not where a baby's startle reflex is in their arms. They're going to startle with their arms, not their legs. So we don't really mind if their legs are nice and loose, and it's ideal for their hips. And then in terms of how tight we want it around the arms, we want to be able to slip a couple of fingers between the chest and the swaddle easily. And if we can do this, then baby can easily breathe, which obviously we want our babies to be able to easily breathe even when wrapped. We don't actually want it much looser, and we risk the swaddle being able to rise up over baby's head, which would be very unsafe. So nice and snug around the chest and arms, not too snug and not too loose. nice and loose around the legs. And then if your baby is being swaddled, then they should be sleeping in their own sleep space to be safe. So their own bassinet or their own cot is the safest place for a swaddled baby to be sleeping. If you are a co-sleeping parent, obviously this isn't recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics for newborns, but you definitely shouldn't be swaddling if you are bed sharing. So swaddling helps prevent that startle reflex, which I mentioned, so newborns won't startle themselves awake and smack themselves in the face. It also triggers their calming reflex, which then allows us to settle them in other ways. So swaddling is kind of prepping them for sleep. Some newborns, it's enough to help them drift off to sleep on their own. But most swaddling is just one piece of the puzzle, and it's preparing them for sleep and creating a really beautiful sleep environment, which kind of mimics the womb where they obviously have been for the last 9 months. And it feels nice and snug and reassuring for them. So yeah, again, I can't stress the number of newborn clients who I go and see, and I simply swaddle them or switch their swaddle from something which wasn't helping with that startle reflex to something a lot more snug, which will help with the startle reflex and has a better result for that baby. So swaddling is an amazing positive sleep association that you can put in place for your newborns and will really help with settling. The next thing would be shushing or white noise. So there is a large number of white noise machines available today on the market. My favorite would still be the baby shusher. I just wish somebody would learn how to hack that machine or jailbreak it, you know, like you can jailbreak an iPhone. Jailbreak it to make it play for longer than one sleep cycle. But if you have ever heard a baby shusher making that shushing sound, then you will know what I mean and understand how much of a powerful settling tool that white noise is. Now, for white noise to be effective enough, it needs to mimic the level and the kind of volume and decibels that the baby heard inside the womb, which is as high as 90 decibels, which is pretty loud. If you're wondering how loud that is, it needs to be louder than your baby's cry, if your baby is crying, so they can actually hear the white noise. So if you can't hear the white noise over there crying, then it's not loud enough. Playing white noise while you're settling your baby, while they're sleeping, and while you're trying to resettle them is a fantastic, again, really positive sleep association, and a great thing to put in place with a newborn, especially if they are upset. It just helps to be a bit of input and trigger that sympathetic nervous system that newborns have to help them, again, be more susceptible to actually being molded and actually put to sleep. So it is a fantastic part of your settling process. The next thing, which can be really fantastic and powerful, but does come with a disclaimer, is side settling. So you will probably find that settling your baby in your arms on their side, so them facing you chest to chest, or in their bassinet or cot on their side with you propping them up, will be a lot easier and more successful than trying to settle them on their back. But this disclaimer is obviously, this is just a settling strategy, guys, not a sleeping strategy. So we don't want our newborns to sleep on their sides, it's simply to settle them. And by settle, I mean we're making them or helping them to go to sleep, or we're calming them down enough that they can drift off to sleep on their own if they're that advanced, but they're not sleeping on their sides. So give it a go, hold them in your arms on their sides nice and snug, or hold them in their bassinet or their cots on their sides, and see if it helps. Some newborns swaddled, white noise on their side, and that's enough for them to drift off to sleep. Talk about dream babies. But it can make a huge difference being on their side, especially if their tummy's hurting a little bit. They might have a little bit of wind while you're trying to settle them. It just allows them to pull their feet up in that sort of fetal position if they are on their side. So give it a go. The next thing you want to try, and probably has come quite naturally to a lot of us, is letting your newborn suck. So whether they have a pacifier or a dummy, again, powerful, powerful settling tool in terms of triggering that calming reflex in baby's brain and just helping them to stop crying and relax. If you don't want to use a dummy or a pacifier, then you might let your baby nurse for comfort and calm themselves down at the breast. I wouldn't bottle feed them for comfort. You might just end up overfeeding them and creating a bit of a sore tummy situation. If you were bottle feeding, I would tend to use a pacifier or a dummy. And if you're breastfeeding, then you can choose which one you want to do. But also, some newborns do get a little bit of a sore tummy if they are constantly on the breast for settling, but some newborns are fine with it. So just experiment and see what works for your newborn if you do want to use sucking to help your baby settle to sleep. If you find that it does work well, I would recommend that you swaddle and turn your white noise on before you move on to the sucking, so that if they do settle in your arms with a pacifier or a dummy, or they settle at the breast, they are swaddled and wrapped up and ready to go to bed. You don't have to then wrap them up and wake them fully. So make sure they're all ready to sleep before you start that sucking instigating to help them get off to sleep. And then the last thing that I would incorporate for settling a newborn baby to sleep is a little bit of motion. So not emotion, but motion. Whether this is a short, sharp rock, if you're going to rock them in their bassinet or in your arms, and we're not talking thrust or anything dangerous, just a short, sharp rock, very small movement. Or you can try patting their back or their bottom, which creates a similar motion as the rocking, and again helps through that calming reflex and helps lull them off to sleep. If you are going to pat your newborn, then you will find that your patting needs to emulate how upset they are. If they have gotten upset in the process of getting ready for bed, then your patting should be firm and fast while they're crying. And once they calm down, it can become more rhythmic and a bit slower and a bit more tick-tock, tick-tock. But if they start getting upset again, then your padding should increase with speed and sort of intensity. So your padding should emulate how upset they are. And be prepared, guys. Be prepared for this settling to take anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes. That's normal newborn settling. And I know that it is 2018 and we are all crazy busy, and so many of us struggle with how long it takes for our newborns to fall asleep, but they are only newborns for 12 weeks. It is such a short period of time in their life, and neurologically they need this from us, guys. They need our help to fall asleep, and the best thing you can do, if possible, is to clear your calendar, clear some time, recruit help for your other children so that you do have that time to help them settle off to sleep for a nap and you're not feeling stressed and anxious, you know, about your other commitments and other kids that you need to tend to. Because I can tell you a lot of time when there is that anxiety around settling a newborn or a baby, you know, often the expectations just need to be changed and made a little bit more realistic, and it's us mums who are putting this crazy expectation on ourselves that despite the fact we have a new baby at home, we should still be keeping a good house and making wonderful nutritious meals and tending to our other children and entertaining guests and staying on top of all the housework, you know. And that's just crazy. If it takes 30 minutes for your baby to fall asleep for a nap, and it takes you 45 minutes to feed them every time they need a feed during the day, that really doesn't leave a lot of, you know, extra time for you as a new mother to do much more than just look after yourself. And that's perfectly acceptable. And if you just remove a little bit of that pressure, I think the whole newborn experience for a lot of us would be a lot more smooth sailing than it is currently. And the other thing which I think some parents are a little bit too keen to try is, you know, assuming that cry it out to teach a baby to self-settle will work at any age, when the truth of the matter is it just won't work on your newborns. They neurologically don't have the ability to go from screaming their heads off to calm themselves down to a sleep on their own. And if that does happen, if it does work one time because you've tried it, they didn't learn to self-settle they just sort of eventually fell asleep. So it's not a behavioral tool which works for newborn babies. And I know that it's still sometimes recommended by people, but in all honesty, it's not going to create fantastic sleeping newborn babies. It will create stress and anxiety around sleep, and it's just really entirely inappropriate for newborns. Instead, you know, we want to be doing all that stuff we've talked about earlier and recruiting help from people, you know. Recruiting help so we're not always the one having to settle them to sleep if possible, and someone else can take them for a walk or a cuddle, that kind of thing, and give mum a little bit of a break. So that's my strategies for getting newborns to sleep. If you do have a newborn baby and you're looking for some help, obviously you've listened to this podcast and hopefully it's been some help for you. If you need a little bit more of one-on-one help, then we do have certified sleep consultants all around the country who can come and help you. Just jump onto our website, www.babysleepconsultant.co.nz, and we can come and see you and show you how to settle your baby, go over what we've learned today, more tips and tricks which we have in our toolbox. And you know, we want to fill your baby toolbox with settling tools and tricks. There's not really a one size fits all for newborns, and it's not really something which we can entirely prepare you for. It's more, let us come and meet your baby, try a few things, see what works best for her or him, and fill your toolbox with different tricks for different days. Because anyone who's been through the newborn stage will tell you there are no two newborns that are the same. And, you know, we have one baby and we think, next time I'll have this sorted, I know what I'm doing. And then the second baby throws us a curveball. So they are all really different, which is why it is always best, most recommended, that we come and see you if there's a newborn sleep issue. And we play sort of newborn sleep detective and figure out what's going on and show you and teach you all the different ways you can get your baby off to sleep. And if you have enjoyed this podcast and learned something today, feel free to share it with your other newborn friends or get in touch and give me a topic you would like me to talk about. All right, that's enough from me. Good luck with your newborns, and I will see you soon.